Amen. Turning your Bibles this morning to 1 Kings, 1 Kings chapter 2, that's the Old Testament. We'll be back in 1 Corinthians next Sunday, the Lord willing. And I'll be in two places, 1 Kings chapter 2 and then Ephesians chapter 6, if you'll find those places now. You know, a fatherhood is what I want to talk to you about this morning, being a father. And, you know, I read a little excerpt the other day that said, dad, a son's first hero and daughter's first love. How true that is. I pray that you have had a wonderful beginning to your Father's Day, guys. And But I want you to listen as I read an article Friday that just moved me with the statistics. That the title of the article was called The Fatherless Generation, about the importance of being a father. Listen to these statistics. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of all children who show behavior disorders come from a fatherless home. 80% of rapists with anger problems come from a fatherless home. 71% of all high school dropouts come from a fatherless home. 75% of all adolescent patients in chemical abuse centers come from a fatherless home. 85% of all youths in prison come from a fatherless home. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from a fatherless home. 43% of U.S. children live without a father. The moment I read all those statistics, this is what came right into my heart, and that is, fathers are absolutely priceless. Amen. And I hope this morning, dads, fathers, listen, I hope that you look at yourself as a priceless dad that cannot be replaced, that is so needed in your home and in the lives of your children. You know, a lot of people, when I was starting putting together this message, and I even questioned it myself before the Lord, but this morning I'm going to use an example of a father, believe it or not, David, King David. Now, David, if anyone had a lot of problems in his family, was it King David? Oh, unbelievable. The word David, by the way, means beloved. He was the eighth son of the son of his father, Jesse, who lived, of course, in Bethlehem. His mother is nameless in Scripture. We don't know who that is. But when David started out, as we know the story of his life, he was a tender of his, taking care of his dad's sheep. He was a brave teenager man because he killed a lion, he killed a bear, with his own club defending the. He was also the killer of a giant named Goliath. He knew exactly how to select the stone and all the things that he did. He was also the second and greatest king of Israel, King Saul being the first king. And of course, he was hunted down by Saul, who hated him, who was jealous of him, wanted him to die, and was on the run as a fugitive for many, many years, living in caves, the cave of Adullam and so forth. Now, his military triumphs are unbelievable, as he was the greatest military leader that Israel had ever had. And yet, only a few verses are given about his military triumphs. But when it comes to his failures, when it comes to his family, it is unbelievable the precedent that is given, for example, and the number of verses given, for example, in he commits adultery. As we know, with Bathsheba, her husband, Uriah, he sends him out in the battle and has him murdered and so forth. So David's life is certainly without sin and transgression, but that should not be the main focus of his life. If you look at David as a father, David had 19 sons in Scripture that were named, one daughter named Tamar, and then he had numerous sons and daughters as well who are unnamed. So he had a tremendous family. You know the story of David, the suffering he went through after he sinned with Bathsheba. You know that the little baby died. His heart was broken. He fasted and prayed. I know that David loved his children. He loved his, like any father would love his children. And then, of course, his firstborn, Amnon, you know what he did. He raped his own half-sister, Tamar, and Tamar was the full sister to Absalom, who was a half-brother to Amnon. After he raped her, it was horrible. She would then, of course, moved into Absalom's house and stayed there with him remaining. Well, she was by herself the rest of her life. And then Absalom was so upset, as he should have been, but then he turns and has Amnon killed. And then Adonijah, another one of his sons, tries to take over the kingdom. Absalom himself, as you know, he hated his father. He wanted his own father dead. He even usurps the kingdom and takes the throne away from his own father. And then David has to flee out of Jerusalem and so forth, crossing the Kidron Brook. And then as the war was raging between Joab and Absalom and all the rest, you know what happened to Absalom. Remember, he was David's favorite. David loved Absalom, I know, more than any of his other children, even though Absalom wanted his own father dead, even though he tried to take the throne. And while they're out in the battle, Absalom, he was on a donkey. Remember, his hair was, he loved his hair. It was so long and so beautiful. Every year he would cut it and it would be 5 pounds of hair. You know what I mean? And as he was on the mule fleeing from Joab's troops, David's commander, he went underneath on the mule under an oak tree, and the branches caught his hair, and the donkey just kept going. And there was Absalom, David's son, hanging between heaven and earth on that tree. And you know what Joab did? Joab was his cousin, by the way. Joab looks at him, takes 3 darts, plunges into his heart, and kills him. So the last thing that Absalom, who wanted his father's throne, saw was the face of his cousin. So when you look at all the damage and all the things that happened, you know, what kind of father do you think David really was? Because there's a lot of other fathers that we could use that would be so much better. But you know, David, to me, God called him the sweet psalmist of Israel. I think nearly 80 psalms he penned. I mean, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. Great man of God. And with all, no matter what people may think of him, some have said, you know, that I've read, you know, David was a strong leader at war or in battle, but he was a weak man, a weak leader in his home and with his children. That's what others have said. But let me tell you what God said, God himself said about David. He said, God the Lord, that David was a man after his own heart. Man, is there anything greater to be that? God never said that about anybody else. David was a great man. You know, when it comes to King David and his life, you know, on this Father's Day, perhaps you had a father similar to David. In other words, if you come from a large family, you know that your father loved you, but you might not have been your father's favorite. You know what I'm saying? Anybody been there? Yes, you understand. Well, you remember what happened, that the Lord God sent Samuel after he said Saul's no longer going to be the king. He sends Samuel the prophet to anoint a new king, and he goes to Jesse's home. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, "And the Lord said to Samuel, do not look now on his appearance, the height of his stature, because I've refused him, for the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And you know the story, all 7 of Jesse's sons, big, powerful men, they look like kings, they look like leaders, they all pass, and each time one son comes, the Spirit of the Lord says to Samuel, no, I've rejected him. Aren't you glad that God looks upon the heart and not the appearance? He does. You know, we don't see as God sees, okay? And you know, it says, and Samuel said to Jesse, well, are all the young men here? And he said, well, there remains yet the youngest. Now, that's David. The youngest, well, he's just out there taking care of the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, well, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. And he says, so he sent and brought him. And now David, he was ruddy. In other words, he had red hair, and it says, and he had bright eyes. He had beautiful eyes. And also, he was good looking. Don't you wish that was written about you? For every generation to read. And then it says, and the Lord said, arise, anoint him, meaning David, for this is the one. Now listen carefully. David wasn't his father's choice. David wasn't even Samuel's choice. But David was God's choice. Let me ask you a question. There he is as a teenager, and David's life is full of adventure, full of ups and downs. Did God know that all that David was going to do from a teenager till the day he died? Yes. Did he know all of his failings and all of his victories and all of his shortcomings? Did he know he was going to sin with Bathsheba? He knew it all, didn't he? He knew everything, and yet he said, this is the one I want. I'm going to build his kingdom. From him, of course, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, will come in his lineage. He says, no, you anoint him. He is my choice. He may not be daddy's choice. He may not be the prophet's choice, but God says he is my choice. Now listen carefully. Fathers, all of you, you are God's choice. You are chosen by your heavenly Father. Amen? Now, fathers, let me ask you a question. You see, Jesse looked at his son and said, he's just tending the sheep. He's a kid. Who would want him to come up here? How do you see your children? Do you see them? Do you look at them and think, well, this one's really going to do better? We should never do that. You know, when I ask that question, fathers, how do you see your children? And I prayed this prayer immediately yesterday as I typed this out. I said this. I said, oh, for the Lord to say about your sons and about your daughters, they are a man or they are a woman after God's own heart. Is there anything better to ask God for than to say, Dad, you know, where you say, oh, honey, I want you to be my little girl. I want you to be after God's own heart. I want you to be after God's own heart. Listen, David the father, he loved the Lord, he lived for the Lord, and at the end of his life, listen to me carefully, David did not look back on his failures. He looked to the Lord God that he loved. By now, you should be in 1 Kings chapter 2. Look at verse 1 with me. Now, the days of David drew near that he should die, and he commanded or charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore. Prove yourself a man. Solomon is getting ready to be crowned the king. And so David has this talk. Now, listen, to my knowledge, you can prove me wrong. I'd love you to prove me wrong, by the way. To my knowledge, this is the only recorded place in Scripture that I find King David instructing in length one of his children. And the first thing he says is, I'm getting ready to die. I am getting ready to go all the way of all the earth. Now listen, you know it and I know it, that not all fathers and their children are as fortunate to be able, or as fortunate as David and Solomon. In other words, they had a private talk before David left this earth. A private father-to-son talk, if you will. You know it, and I've experienced it. Sometimes there's not any last words. You don't get to say anything at all because death comes suddenly without warning. You know, one of my biggest regrets in my own personal life is my father. I really didn't know him. I didn't have a deep relationship with him. The last 2 years of his life, we started connecting. And there was never, I love you. He never said he loved me. There was just more of a joking or trying to get together. He was quiet and I was quiet. There was a lot of hurt. And I'll never forget there, after we'd kind of become acquainted, he called me and he says, Bill, I need you to come to the house in Fort Worth. I need to talk with you. And I said, I really don't have a lot of time. And he says, please, just, it don't take long. And so that night I drive over and he's sitting at the kitchen table at the house, and I had not been there in so many years. And I said, Dad, I said, what's on your heart? He says, I have to talk to you because I'm not going to live. I'm going to die tonight. And I looked at him and I said, you're what? And I thought he was trying to pull on my heartstrings. Are you following me? Because see, I didn't have a relationship like I wish I'd had. And I said, don't have time for this. And it was because of my own hurt that I did that. I walked out that night. 3 hours later, he died. I regret that, not knowing what he wanted to tell me. Boy, to have a heart-to-heart like they had. Dad, don't you ever forget that. Do you talk to your children often? Tell them how you truly feel. Tell them how much you love them. Amen? Oh, that's so vital. Every day, Dad, you have daughters. You need to tell your daughter that she is the most beautiful, most wonderful little girl or teenage girl in the whole world. They need that, and they need you to tell them. Listen, David said, be strong. Every father wants their child, son or daughter, to be a strong person. Amen? But listen to me now. But fathers must tell them and show them how to be strong. David wasn't saying to be strong in yourself, was he? No, he was saying, be strong in the Lord. The Bible is so clear. He says, you know what? We can do all things through Christ Jesus who gives us strength. Paul, the apostle, right before getting into the warfare with the darkness and so forth in Ephesians 6:10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Not in yourselves, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Man, listen, that's what he told Solomon to do, and that's what we parents need to tell our children to do as well. It says in 1 John 2:14, the apostle John writes, says, listen, I've written to you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning. I've written to you young men, here it comes, because you are strong. You're not getting ready to get strong. You're not going to be strong. He says, you are strong. And then he tells us why they are strong. He says, because the word of God abideth in you. It lives in you. And ye have overcome the wicked one. Listen, that's what happens. You want to know how to defeat the wicked one? Get the word of God into you. Because you know what? We demonstrate his defeat with words, don't we? Absolutely. The word of God. We cast down those lies and in place we take God's truth. Paul the apostle writes in 2 Corinthians 4:7, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. That's what we are, an earthen vessel, that the excellence of the power of God may be of God and not of us. When's the last time that you told your child, I want you to be strong in the Lord and let me show you how? Let me take you to those scriptures. Then he says, prove yourself a man. Can you imagine David saying that to Solomon? I mean, loved one, listen, David was, yes, he was redheaded. He had beautiful eyes and he was a handsome man, but he was a rugged warrior. Do you understand? He was a fighter. Man, he was fearless as a teenager. He killed Goliath, and remember what he did with Goliath's sword after he threw the stone and so forth? He went over and cut his head off with Goliath's own sword, walking around with it. How you doing, bud? Took it to King Saul. Listen, was he rough? He was a fighter. He was no one to mess with. And Solomon was a, like J. Vernon McGee, I told the first service, J. Vernon McGee, I heard him, yeah, he talks funny, you know. Solomon was a sissy. You know how. Well, I would never call Solomon a sissy, but that's what J. Vernon McGee called him. Listen, why? Solomon had never been in battle. David had now made peace the kingdom was under his control. He was Israel was a major force in all of the world, man. No, Solomon was raised, you know, he probably had manicures and all the rest. There in the palace, you know what I'm saying? No, but here's the thing. Solomon, when David said that to Solomon, he wasn't a 30-year-old man. He wasn't a 35-year-old man. Eusebius, an early church father, says that Solomon, when David spoke that to him right before he took the throne, he was like 12 years old. He was just, can you imagine that? There, the warrior looking at his son. He said, listen, prove yourself a man. Josephus, the Jewish historian in antiquities, he said that he believed that Solomon was probably about 15 years old when he took the throne. You know what David said to his staff before Solomon took the throne? He said, listen, this is my son. He is young. He is tender. I want him to prove himself to be a man. And not only that, you know what Solomon said about his own self after David died and the Lord appeared to him in a dream? He told God, he says, oh, God, the Lord said, ask what you want, it'll be granted unto you, Solomon. Solomon said, oh, listen, Father, he says, I am but a little child. I don't know how to go out, and I don't know how to come in. I need wisdom to rule your people. Solomon was just a young boy. And David said, prove yourself a man. What did he mean? And what does that mean? It means, loved one, to be a man who follows after God. That's what it means. What every father wants, what every Christian father wants for. And if you're not married, you're getting ready to get married, and you have children, and you hold that little baby girl, that baby boy, and you know what you're going to want? You're going to say, I want them to grow up and love the Lord Jesus. I want them to know that there's eternal life, that they can be saved because they're not born saved. Amen? Oh, this side, you think they are, don't you? No. You'll find out after about the two-year-old period. You'll find out how lovely they are. Yeah. Oh, man. No. He says, you know, a man that follows God. Look at verse 3. He says, keep the charge of the Lord your God, Solomon. Walk in his ways. Keep his statutes. Keep his commandments. Keep his judgments. Keep his testimonies as is written in the law of Moses. Now watch what happens if you'll do that. And that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. Dads, listen to me. What kind of advice on this Father's Day? What kind of advice did your father give you? My father did not give me any advice. The only advice that I remember my father giving me, honest to God, is one thing. He always said, get your education. No one can take it away. That's all he ever told me. You know what I mean? He didn't tell me about the Lord. He didn't tell me one thing about Jesus. None of those things. I'm not faulting him. I'm not condemning him. I'm just saying that wasn't in my home. Fathers, what kind of advice are you right now giving unto your children? You know what David did? He says, oh, Solomon, listen to me. There's only one way to live this life. There's only one thing, only one way to accomplish all that God wants to do in your life, and that is you must build your life on the Word of God. You must obey Him. You must be a man of God, a man after God's own heart. Amen? Listen, what did Jesus tell us? This is for fathers. This is for every Christian. Jesus told us in the temptation scene with the devil in Matthew 4:4, it says, man, that's all of us, shall not live by bread alone, but by every mouth that proceedeth from the mouth of God, every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how we're to live. We live by the Word of God. That is our strength. That is our truth. Jesus told us in Matthew 7:24, he says, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I'll liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the winds came and the storms came and the rain and all of it, it descended and it beat upon that house, but that house did not fall because it was founded upon the rock. The rock meaning these sayings of Jesus. Those who hear them and then apply them to their life. And that's what fathers are to do. We're to teach those to our children. 1 Chronicles 28:9, listen to what David said to Solomon. He says, as for you, my son Solomon, he says, know the God of your father. In other words, have a personal, ongoing relationship with the living God. He says, and serve him with a loyal heart. That word means a sincere or a heart that is devoted to God. And serve him with a willing mind. The Bible says in Isaiah 1:19, it says that he who is willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. And it says, for the Lord searches the hearts, understands the intents and the thoughts. If you seek him, Solomon, he'll be found by you. But if you forsake him, he'll cast you off forever. And here's the reason why. Because Solomon had a job to do. Listen, consider now, David says, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Do you know fathers are priceless? The words of encouragement, the things that you say to your children, the way you can lift them up or the way you can put them down. Oh, how important it is for us to be in our walk with God, where we are tender, we are forgiving, and we're loving, we're nurturing. Amen? They're children. We have to come down to their level. They cannot come up to our level. Is that right? That's right. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, about the last days. Paul writes Timothy and says, know this. It's certain now. He says, know this. In the last days, we're living in the last days right now. He says, perilous times, dangerous times, savage times will come. And he lists 19, I believe it is. Maybe it's 18. I can't remember. Characteristics of the people in the last days of how they're going to increase in a certain ungodliness. And he goes on and he says, listen carefully now. He says, the time will come. That means it's certain. It is a divine fact. For men will be lovers of themselves, no matter what their conduct is. It says, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Here it comes. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving. In other words, without family affection or love. Unforgiving. Despisers of good. Now listen carefully. It amazes me that in that end time scenario that we just read, it also includes parents and children. That just blows me away. The ungeneration, if you will, they're unloving, they're unforgiving, they're unthankful to parents and so forth. They're brutal, the Bible says. Do you know this is a direct result of the breakdown in the family? Amen? You know, I read an article from a Christian lady. It was so good, but there was one word that just so captured me, and she said that America is now a rootless, R-O-O-T-L-E-S-S, rootless people. What she meant was we are so scattered, we're no longer family, nor does family really matter. We're not tight like we used to be. Do you remember, if you're old as I am, you remember how when your kids were growing, you told them and you said, like for example with me, I would say, son, listen to me, the Quinn family, we stick together no matter what we're going through, no matter how tragic or how great or how poor, we always stick together, we're always going to help one another. You remember days like that? That's not happening today. It's not happening in our world any longer. No, that's a direct result of the breakdown of the family. 43% of American children have no biological father at home. I tell you, fathers are priceless. What every boy, what every girl, what every teenager, what every person in all of the world, they need this. They need to be a new heart. They need to be born from above. Amen? But they also need a father that will truly take the time to raise them God's way. And if you know that your children, who they really are, you will do so. The Bible tells us in Psalm 127:3, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. In other words, a gift from Almighty God. Do you believe that your children are gifts? Even though they torment you, they're gifts from God. Not only that, the fruit of the womb is a reward. It is the little one is a reward from God. Listen, dads, I know that every father, you're hardworking, man, you're trying to make it, especially when you're young, you're trying to make ends meet. You're trying to make it the time and all the rest of it. But fathers, listen to me now. I know that you love your children. And I know that you want the absolute best for your children. However, If for some reason you have neglected to raise or to begin raising your children God's way, man, there's a problem. And it raises three major concerns immediately. Number one, if you're not raising your kiddos the way God says in the Word of God, then what you're saying, even though you're not saying it, and you might be without even realizing it, you're saying that your wisdom on how to raise children and bring them up is greater than Almighty God who created them and gave them to you as a reward. Another thing is that if you're not raising your children's God's way, then it tells me and should tell you as well that you are out of the will of God concerning your parental role, your spiritual role as a father in the home of your children. Now, and it also tells me one other thing, that you would not be giving then your children a true biblical worldview, if you will, which they definitely need. They need to know God's word. Now listen, I tell you, that's priceless for a child, a teenager, to truly know. And it's done not in your strength, but by God's grace, by the power of another, the Holy Spirit. And you have the manual. You have the Word of God. Now, turn with me. You should already be there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Every parent knows this, I'm sure. But let's look at something quickly. It says in Ephesians 6, chapter 1, children, obey your parents. Now, that's plural, so it means mother and father. So if you're a teenager sitting there, if you're a little one sitting there, this is for you. Obey your mom and dad and do so in the Lord, and the reason for it is, this is right. In other words, it pleases God to see you obey him. Now listen, the word there, obey, means you hear something and then you respond to it with obedience, all right? So fathers, now listen, did you notice that verse 1 doesn't say, parents, obey your children? Daddy, obey me. What would you do if you're a little, you obey me? You guys have any humor this morning? No, listen. Many children rule the roost. Come on. I see it. I'm not going to tell you who you are. No, no, they rule. You know, but you know what? Listen, it shouldn't be like that. What a blessing. What a blessing it is for a little baby boy or girl to be born into a Christian home, to be born in a home where Jesus Christ is the Lord of that home and the Lord of that marriage. Amen. Listen, there's no greater privilege than to be born into a home like that. A home where we say, we don't want to argue. We don't want to cuss and fight. We want to stay together for the rest of our lives. We want to raise the children the way God intended. Man, there's nothing greater than that, loved one. Fathers are priceless. Mothers are priceless. And you raise priceless children. Amen? That's what it's about. And it says, look at that. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise. So the first commandment, it's not the first commandment, it's the fifth commandment, but it's the first commandment that has a promise attached to it, is what Paul is saying. So right here, it says, honor your mom and dad. You know what that word means. I've taught this 100 times over the years here. The word honor means to treat your father, your mother, as precious, to treat as a treasure, if you will. We get our English word ornament from this word. But fathers, listen to me. When it says there to honor you, you know, if you pull that out of you better honor me, you know? You know what I mean. You know that scripture, but maybe you don't know what it really means. You see, this is not some forced, mechanical, slavish obedience. That's just not going to work. See, this means that you have to give the kiddo something really to honor, you know, to respect. Nothing breaks the heart of a mother or father more than when their children treat them with horrible disrespect. It hurts them, and it keeps on hurting. It's a terrible, terrible thing. The Bible says in Proverbs 10:1, it says, the Proverbs of Solomon, meaning the son of David. A wise man makes a glad father. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother. Proverbs 19:13, a foolish son is the ruin of his father. Proverbs 19:26, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son that causes shame and brings reproach. Whoever robs his father or his mother and says, oh, it's no big deal, it's no transgression, the same is a companion to a destroyer. And you know who the destroyer is. That's the devil. He says, honor your father and mother, first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you live long upon the earth. Now, that doesn't mean that necessarily every child that honors their father is going to live long upon the earth. But I tell you what it does mean. All of us can say that are older now, I wish I had listened to my father. I wish I had listened to his warning, because you know what? He was right. Isn't it amazing? You know, from birth to about 20-something, your kids think they know everything. You know nothing. And then all of a sudden, they have kids. They get into their late 20s and early 30s, and they go, oh, Dad, you knew everything. You know what I mean? Yes, because now they're being what they reap, or so they're reaping. Ha-ha. You know what I mean? Oh, listen. No, listen. It is important, you know, that we obey. Now, you know, fathers, how do you gain your child's honor? Well, first of all, it starts with you. It doesn't start with your child. You know, and the reason is because you can't teach a child to honor you. I mean, oh, you can make them, but you can't teach a child to honor you. You can force it, but that's not going to work. You can demand it, but that doesn't work. You can beat them into external submission, but that's not going to work. It doesn't work that way. It says, you know, to honor your father and your mother. Did you notice that it doesn't say, mom and dad, did you notice it doesn't say, God didn't say, love your father and your mother. It says, obey your father and mother. Why? Because all children love their mom and dad. Amen? They do. I mean, they love you. They love you with all of their hearts. You know, real fathers are what a kid needs. Not a father who thinks, well, I have this down and this is what I believe. No, it's what God's word says. Boy, that's important today. See, our children need real fathers, and they don't need perfect fathers, because there's no such thing as a perfect father. They need an example to follow. Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of Christ, walking in love. That's what children need to see, is a loving father. And you know what? I'll tell you this, dads, listen, when you demonstrate love to your wife in your home, their mother, don't ever think that the kiddos don't catch that. They see that. And if you have a daughter, the way that you treat your wife will be the type of man that your daughter is going to seek in her life. I pray that you go head over heels in love with your wife, amen? That you're good to her, treat her as one as yourself. But another thing that every kid needs, every child from their dad, is time. That is such a big thing. Isn't that the hardest thing, guys, to do? I mean, especially, let's say you're a young fellow now, you're getting on in your career, you have two little ones at home. Man, you're working yourself to death. You're trying to get up the ladder so you have enough money. You got to put them in school, if that's your desire, to college, all the things that's needed. And, you know, it seems like there's never time. You don't even get to see your wife because of the kids. You follow me? That's the way it's like that. However, you have to take time to be with your kids. That is so important. I remember one time when Thomas was just a little boy, there at home, the same home that way before Calvary Chapel ever started in my living room. And he says, Dad, I want a clubhouse. And I'm going, you want a clubhouse? I don't have time to build a clubhouse. So I thought, here's what I thought. I said, okay, you really want a clubhouse? I said, well, I'm not going to go buy the lumber. I said, we're going to have to get lumber. Maybe on trash day, we'll go and see if there's lumber out, sitting out, and or, you know, so forth. So he said, that's fine, Dad. I said, are you serious? See, I thought he was going to go, I'm not going to do that. So what did I do? Every trash day, we go pick up this, pick up that. You know what I'm saying? Started loading up the backyard. And then somebody came up and saw what we were doing in his house. He goes, hey, I have a pallet company. Why don't you come and pick up some pallets? And I said, what? So here we go. We're going to get all those pallets, and we're pulling all the nails out and saving the nails. And then I have all this lumber. Didn't cost us one thing. I built a big, beautiful, it was over 8 feet in the air, man, overlooking the fence, you know, and boy, it was nice. And so he built a sign, had a sign on his clubhouse, had a ladder going up to it and all that, you know, and it says, Thomas's Clubhouse, no girls allowed. And he had the sign of the fish, you know what I mean? The very first day, and I have the picture of it at home, the very first day, guess who comes over into the backyard and climbs up into a girl. We still have her picture, you know what I mean? And of course, the clubhouse is gone, but that little plaque that says, no girls allowed, Thomas is still in my garage right now. But you have to take time. You have to take time. He'll never forget that. He loved that clubhouse. You know, listen to this. I just read the statistic. The average American father spends only 7.5 uninterrupted minutes per week with his children. 7.5 minutes per week uninterrupted with his children. But 32 hours a week watching TV. That's not spending time with your kids. Man, the kids need our time. Look at it again. Fathers, it says, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training that has to do with discipline, admonition that has to do with instruction. In other words, putting God's word into their heart and mind. And it says, and how do you do it? Of the Lord. Now listen, it all begins with the father. It says, you fathers, that's your God-given role. And look what it starts out with. Do not provoke. Isn't that amazing? So the first words to fathers is how not to teach your children. It says here, the first part of verse 4, every bit of it is about words, meaning the words that comes forth from the parent, the father's mouth. The Bible says in Proverbs 12:18, there's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, the piercings of a sword. Man, can words hurt? God, I mean, you can stab people with words. You know, I mean, words hurt. They hurt me. They hurt you. They can hurt us right now. They can cripple a child. He says, there's one who speaks like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise, dads, are you listening? The tongue of the wise promotes health, or literally well-being. The Bible says that death and life is in the power of the tongue. Words, man, they can scar you. You know why? Because they can shape a little one's self-worth. You know why it's dads, listen to me. Do you know if you speak words that are unbecoming to a child when they're little, and you say to them, and I'm not saying you would ever say this, but I've had it said to me, you're worthless, you're trash. You're never going to amount to anything in your life. When you love your father, you believe his words. Are you listening to me? His words have an effect. They are either stabbing you or they are changing your life. Not for the bad, but for the good. Why? Because fathers are priceless. See, you are the most important person in the little one's life. And what you say, they believe. They trust you. They look up to you. They don't have anyone else to look up to you. That's why God says in his word, he says, fathers, do not. This is a command from God. It's not an option in child raising. Fathers, do not provoke. That means a repeated, ongoing pattern, arousing your child to anger. That's for fathers and that is for mothers. Don't do it. The Lord says don't do it. Even repeats it again, Paul does, to the church at Colossae in Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. Listen, the world, the devil, the flesh, and people, that's enough to discourage anyone, amen? They don't need, your fathers should not discourage. Matter of fact, that word provoke means this, listen carefully, to push to the point of explosion. And one of the ways that I have witnessed over my life you know, and I've lived long enough to just kind of see a little bit of it, is that, you know, that provoking, that perpetual fault finding with your children. Where you, the mom or the dad, they're constantly, I mean constantly, constantly correcting them. Every little thing that they do that they don't feel is right, they're constantly correcting them. Listen to me, don't try to make your little one perfect. He's not going to be perfect. She's not going to be perfect, amen? But I tell you what you can do, fathers, you can teach them about the perfect one. But they're not going to be perfect. No, don't discourage your children. Encourage them. Listen, I'll tell you, your children, my children, they're going to fail. And they need to fail. Life is hard. Don't be a helicopter or a rescue pilot and fly in and every little thing that goes wrong in their life. It's okay for them to have a few bumps. Bumps won't hurt them. Listen. I know this doesn't happen today, but when I was growing up and you came home and my grandmother would look at me and she says, get into the bathroom, you have a ring around your neck. Do y'all remember what that meant? Have y'all ever heard that expression? What is the ring? Dirt. It means you got dirty. It's okay for your kids to get dirty. I'd come in, I had dirt all over me, I had dirt in my ears, you know, I had sweat, you know, in August in Texas on the farm, and that dust bowl out there, you're walking through clods, you don't have any shoes on, you're tough, your feet are tough. Let your, you know, today you won't even let your kid go out in the front yard. You put monitors on them, they can't do anything. They need to get dirty. They need to be men, little boys and little girls. They need to be adventurers. They need to explore. I don't regret that part of my life because I was truly an adventurer. I knew no fear. I would do anything and it never bothered me. Of course, you know, I didn't have any parents to ever correct me, so I was like a feral child, if you know what I'm saying. You know? Oh, listen. Listen, your children are going to fail. They need to fail. But when they do fail, no matter what it is, they need to know that they're still valuable to you. You see, you know, you've got to be careful not to create that conditional love mentality. You know what I mean? In other words, oh, the little boy, the little girl, or even teenagers, they say, well, you know what? As long as I do everything right, as long as I say the right things, do the right things, as long as I comb my hair, whatever it is the right way, as long as I do this in school, as long as I get this, man, I know then not only do they approve of me because I can earn their approval, but they love me. That's horrible. How can you make an F? Well, they made an F, okay? There's a lot of people that made Fs that went on to be leaders. Amen? Albert Einstein could even tie his own shoes, man. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, look at the gifting in your kids. Okay, they didn't make an A. What did they make? They made a B. Oh, my God. Come on. No, listen, they don't let them believe that approval by you is something that they can be earned. You love them like our Father loves you. Unconditional love. You can't change his love. And you know what? If they mess up, they shouldn't ever think, well, Daddy doesn't love me or Mama doesn't love me. Listen, when a child has reached a point, and I have seen it over and over, when they decide in their little hearts and minds, no matter what I do, I can't please them. You know what they do? They quit trying to please you. Or they'll just play a game. Yeah, I'm going to church because I don't want to listen to you. They won't say that to you. Are y'all with me? Oh, how important that is. It says, fathers, listen, mothers too, don't provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in the training. Again, that's discipline, loving discipline, not harsh discipline. And admonition in the Lord, in other words, that instruction from the Word of God. Now, that verse 4, fathers, it tells us something. It tells us who is responsible for bringing up your children in the admonition and training of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are. That's your God-given role. The kids' church is not responsible. We assist you. Schools are not responsible. It's the father that is responsible, and that's God's plan. Listen to me now. Every dad, Every dad, you know how it is when they're, for example, when you're, if you have teenagers and they finally get their driver's license and you see them pull out in your car, for, are you worried about the car?
Yes.
Are you worried about the car? No. You want them to come home, right? You want them to be safe. Why? They're 16 or whatever the age, and they're out there driving. Hello, is that the scariest moment? Or and you think that? And then how about when you drop them off at college for the first time? Oh my gosh, they've never been away. They've never been out of the house. You go back home with your wife and go, "Who are you?" You understand? And then you go, they don't have my guidance. I'm not there. I can't. Yeah, that's right. You should have already prepared them. You see what I mean? Oh, because those events happen in the life of all of us, loved one. Listen, if a father, if both of you, but fathers in particular today, if you're not, by God's grace, obeying verse 4, then you're not raising your children the right way. In other words, God's way. And what you're doing, whether you intend to or not, you're giving your children then, if you're not doing it God's way, what are you giving them to believe in? What are you telling them? I mean, you're giving them a life without purpose. You're giving them a life without any meaning, without any direction. There's no moral absolutes out there, but there are in the Word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs 4:1, it says, Solomon writes, listen carefully, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding." Here he comes. "For I give you good doctrine," or good teaching. Well, listen, how can you give your children good teaching if you don't know the Word? You have to know the Word yourself. Help them. Now listen, "Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son," Solomon says, he's speaking about King David. He said, "Tender, oh, I was tender. I was the only one in the sight of my mother," meaning Bathsheba. Now listen here. "He also," King David, "he also taught me." King David taught his son. He says, "He also taught me," and here's what he said to me. "Solomon, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live." Have you ever noticed father like son? Did you know that the statistics that we all know and hate to hear, but you know what it says here in this one statistic? If church attendance is not a priority to the father, you are training your child that church is not important. Listen to this study. That if a father does not attend church on a regular basis, no matter if they're being raised by a godly mother in the house, that if a father does not attend church on a regular basis, 60% of children, when they become adults, will not attend church. 60%. A father is priceless because he has more influence in the home over the children than does the mother, even though the mother is godly. Are you following me? Oh, loved one, dads, you guys are so priceless. Listen, teach your children to pray. Teach them. There's nothing more glorious than to teach your little one to pray and to see that. I have pictures. Oh, dear Lord, it's so wonderful. When they close their eyes, they really believe what they're praying. Amen? Amen. Teach them to study the Word of God. Get them one of those little kid children's Bible and all the rest of it. Teach them about God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Teach them about the supernaturalness, the hereness, the nowness of God. Teach them that God answers prayer. Teach them that God's Bible has the answers for this life. That's what it's all about. There's nothing greater than to teach your son, your daughter, that God is a supernatural healing. He'll deliver people. He'll set people free. That there's nothing too hard for God. You, father, are a role model, whether you like it or whether you don't like it. When your child grows up, when he or she steps out of the home into this world, He then or she will look to what you taught them to navigate the world that they now live in. God has given you the responsibility. What an awesome, wonderful privilege to raise your children in the admonition of the Lord. Have you ever read David's last prayer? It's found in 1 Chronicles 29:19, and here it is. He's talking, David talking to the Lord, and he says, "Oh, Lord, give my son Solomon a great education." No. "Give my son Solomon a great career." No. "Give my son Solomon wealth and riches." So all, no. He says, "Oh, Lord, give my son Solomon a loyal heart, a devoted heart, a sincere heart to keep your commandments, to walk in your ways." What great, that's the greatest thing you can ask for, amen? David, when he died, it says in 1 Chronicles 29:28, it says, "And so King David, he died in a good old age, full of days, riches and honor, and Solomon, his son, reigned in his place." Someone penned this, "At the end of our lives, we will ask this, did I live? Did I love? Did I matter?" Fathers, you are priceless. You see, you can be a great man, but a poor father. You can be a great doctor, plumber, lawyer, but a poor father. Don't be that. Be a great father. And you do that by saying, "Lord, there's your word. I'm going to teach my children that." I want to close by reading a prayer from one of our children, a little girl in the kids' church. This is a prayer request that she gave. She said, "Lord, people now are hurt in life." Isn't that amazing that a little girl would write that? "Please wash all my sins. Be with me. Please be with me. Whew. I'll make Kevin come up here and read this. "Let me live," she says. A little girl. "Let me live. Please speak to me so my family and I can hear you. Please. Thank you for all that you've done. I love you so much. God, please take this and read it. Amen." Her prayer was heard. Lord, we praise you on this Father's Day. And indeed, Lord, you, our Father in heaven, are priceless. Priceless. And we, oh God, as fathers, we didn't realize how priceless we are to our sons and to our daughters and grandsons and granddaughters. Oh, Lord, I pray that every man, whether he's a father yet or not, that they embrace this word, that they know that one day, if they have not children now, but when they do, they're priceless. That they take time with their kids, that they raise them and bring them up in the admonition of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they learn that they are role models and that everything they do, their child sees. I thank you, Lord, for every father, that you bless them. Lord, help them, for they have a tall job to do. We love you. We give you praise and honor to our Father in heaven. And we do so in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet, shall we?